everybody. Welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could jump along here tonight for the next 2 hours. Let's talk some racing, shall we? I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the old RTR Windy Studio tonight. Jr., hopefully the power stays on for the next 2 hours or so.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Mother Nature is definitely throwing the gamut.
I'll tell you.
Crazy story today. I was chilling out.
Yeah.
And the wind came up, and it blew my window in on, like, right in my bedroom.
Incredible.
Insane.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of wind.
Well, you know what? When you clean those windows, sometimes you don't all get locked right back in.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, a lot of wind. We're up in the Grey Bruce area, a lot of down power lines, a lot of people out of hydro right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are one of the fortunate ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. No generator needed yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
If we do go dark, though, you know why.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So,
we will hook up to the generator. We'll try to get it rolling. As long as the internet stays up.
It'll take us a while, I can tell you that. If we happen to drop out, probably a good chance we'll be out for a little bit. But let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. And, Junior, we have got a star-studded lineup, I must admit. We're going to talk about the Canadian Hall of Fame kind of in-depth tonight. I thought it would be a great idea to get some of those circle track guys. There's a lot of inductees that are going to be being inducted come February. I do believe it's February. That these teams or these individuals will be put into the Hall of Fame. But I thought it would be a good idea to grab some of those oval track guys. And I say some. We do not have all of them.
No.
But we've got enough to fill up a night, I can tell you that. We got LP Dumoulin. He is one guy that was announced going into the Hall of Fame. A pretty big honor for LP, as it is for all the inductees.
Yeah, definitely. LP and his family, really, you know, it goes back to his dad racing. And I got a chance to see LP's dad's Austin Mini, everybody at GP3R last year over in Trois-Rivières. He kind of paced the field in one of the first Dumoulin cars, in a car that spent a lot of time at GP3R turning laps out there. And it showed the history. I had no idea the history behind the Dumoulin family in the province of Quebec and really all over Canada and all over the world now. They've been in the sport a tremendous amount of time. And rightly so. He's, you know, a multi-time champion in multiple different facets of the sport, and from everything from sports cars to purpose-built road cars, and then as well into the NASCAR, you know, Pinty Series. Just a tremendous guy and a big friend of Racetime Radio as well. LP is just a great dude.
He sure is. I got to meet LP. I want to say it was right around that 2010 mark. When LP Dumoulin came into the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series back then as a rookie, and of course LP's roots deeply, firmly planted in road racing, and I never knew LP Dumoulin. Of course, I heard the name before, but I had never met LP. He stepped into the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, and I remember that year real well. Sue and I went, and we traveled the whole country, followed the tour, went to every single stop. And that particular year, LP Dumoulin was up against Miss Tremblay.
Yes.
Isabelle Tremblay. Wow, my mind. Isabelle Tremblay and LP were warring it out to find out which one was going to be Rookie of the Year that year. And I'll tell you what, it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was very cool. That's when I got to meet LP. He had never, ever even come close to running an oval track race, let alone winning one. And now look at him.
Yeah.
He is, you couldn't call him just a road course guy anymore. He can win on an oval just as good as anybody.
Yeah, definitely. And really, he's came such a long way within the NASCAR Pinty Series. You know, when you look at the top tier, you know, series in Canada, when he came in, you know, he did a couple trial races, right? There was a couple, you know, one-off races that they did with their family, with their family's companies on the car, and you know, got their feet wet. And then when they ended up, you know, running full time for the first time, they, you know, put together an effort with Scott Steckley and the 22 Racing Bunch, and you know, fast forward to now, they own, you know, one of the most progressive and you know, biggest teams in the sport right now up here in Canada.
Yeah.
And they own and operate and run the team themselves. You know, running against guys like Steckley and DJ Kennington Racing and all of those guys and putting together numbers as well, you know, of course, winning a championship with his own team. And then having his brother as well under the same roof.
Right.
And then as well, you know, over the past couple of years, been fielding cars for other drivers as well. And, you know, the amount of depth change from running, you know, just racing for somebody else's team to then winning a championship with your own team.
Right.
That's light years,
sure,
right?
It is.
Like,
yeah.
There's a tremendous amount of cards that need to go the right way in order for that to happen. And you need to be in control of your destiny all the way through. And it proves that he, you know, he's got the ability to remain in the sport for a tremendous amount of time. And I don't think that there's a competitor out there. Obviously, you know, he's got into skirmishes and there's been contact on the racetrack, but I don't think there's a competitor out there that would say a negative word about LP Dumoulin.
Right.
He's a true blue sportsman. You know, he's a very competitive race car driver. He's not afraid to put the car where it shouldn't go. And that's the mark of a true champion. As long as you can get out the other side. And that's what he does. And does a really good job at it. And like you mentioned, you know, he is a road course ace. He's really good on road courses. But surrounding himself with the people that he has, you know, the Robin McCluskey and those types of people, and the relationships that he's built off the racetrack, has turned him into a force to be reckoned with. Of course, going to Victory Lane this year, you know, in the Short and Pinty series over at Sunset Speedway, being competitive every time they hit the racetrack in an all-oval series. LP is just he's a monster behind the wheel and you know, couldn't ask for a better guy to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he is the WeatherTech Belmore guy, and we're going to have him up here in very short order.
Laser measured.
We will also hear from another Hall of Famer going in, Alex Nagy. Of course, we all know Alex now from Jukasa Speedway, flying the ship over there for Tim. But how about the storied career of Alex Nagy? Short track ace, you say Alex, I think Delco. And that number three car, and it was very iconic.
Was it number three or
93?
93. 93. 93. The three was Dan Shirley.
You're right. That was the good wrench car. But the
good wrench
Delco
car. But yes, the AC Delco car.
Yes, 93.
You know, I remember the Cascar series coming up to Sauble Speedway when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I knew nothing about Cascar.
1995.
Right? I knew nothing about Cascar at all, other than seeing it on TV.
Right.
It was a really big deal when Cascar rolled in through the back gate at Sauble Speedway.
Sure, it was
huge.
You know,
it was tremendous. There was all the names, but one of the ones that stood out to me, you know, as a young kid that was like a diehard race fan, was that AC Delco car. Right, there was the Sega Genesis car of Mark Dilley, and there was the AC Delco car. There was the, you know, there was
Mac
a bunch
Tools
of cars.
Car.
There was a bunch of cars that looked like what you see in racing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Right,
that's Dave Whitlock.
That's what I loved with Cascar is that there was Canadian cars with sponsors that you see on Sunday, right? You had cars that looked like Dale Jarrett's number 88 car. You had guys that were painted like Dale Earnhardt, Dale Jr., with the AC Delco look. You know, there was the Skoal Bandit car with Neil Fair behind the wheel. Just really cool. But then you also had these unique teams, you know, like the Sega Genesis car that Mark Dilley had. And
yeah.
Like the Dodge car who drove the Dodge car back then? I remember it, you know.
Dodge branded car?
Yeah, there was a Dodge branded car.
Mm-hmm. Not the Mopar car.
It wasn't Ron Beauchamp. But you know, all those cars rolling in through the back gate. And Alex Nagy was one of those guys, right?
Oh,
definitely a cool guy, and within the sport, he's done it all.
Well, we're going to catch up with Alex Nagy tonight on the show. We'll also have another Hall of Famer in Steve Robley, another short track ace from the Delaware market, familiar from right across Ontario and Canada. But Steve Robley will join us, and then we are going to break from these Hall of Famers and go out to a another guy that we have never had on this show that is an integral part at Riverside International Speedway. Dylan Langell is finally going to come on Racetime Radio. He is the announcer at Riverside. I seen the parts for truck store schedule was announced for 2021, at least the framework, a tentative one. And I know Dylan will have the skinny on that. He also is very busy in the offseason helping Tim Terry out with timscorner.ca and all the iRacing that is coming up. And they're planning a 300. It's going to be a full week of racing coming up on iRacing. And I know Dylan will have all the particulars on that. And I know we look forward to catching up with them tonight. We also have clips with the top three in NASCAR, the champions. We didn't have them on last week because we weren't on. We'll also hear Jimmy Johnson's final thoughts, jumping into his number 48 car for the final time and to cap his career and what his thoughts were heading into that final race last weekend. And I've heard them. I prepared the clip. Pretty interesting, and to say the least, we're going to hear that tonight. So we got lots coming at you. We'll hit this first break, and I know Susie Q will be getting her fingers going and getting LP Dumoulin up on that hotline. We'll hear from LP next on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win. Wow.
It's unfiltered 24/7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We've got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh, USA.
Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
And just like that, we are back with you, ready to go tonight. Talking how about the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame and the new inductees that are all going to go in come February, I do believe. And we will double check that with one of the inductees coming up. We've got on the hotline all the way from Quebec, we have LP Dumoulin with us, driver of the 47 BelmarWeatherTech.ca car. What's going on tonight, LP? How you doing, brother?
Hey, everything's great. About you guys?
Doing fantastic, man. It's pretty windy here in Ontario. I don't know what it's doing in Quebec there, but I'll tell you what. This wind is a howling here. Hopefully we stay on the air. And if you haven't got it, get ready. Tomorrow, it'll be coming your way. This is big.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm sure it's coming my way. And I saw a couple video on Facebook, actually, from Mr. Tony Spiteri from Pinty's. I saw some of his video there. It seems to be pretty windy on your way there.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's just like the 47 went by us on the outside the RTR studio. The wind is that big. But, LP, what an honor, man. You're going to be going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Tell us your thoughts. What did you think of that when the announcement came out?
I actually, to be totally honest with you, I was working in my backyard doing some stuff, and then here we go. I got a phone call from, I think it was a 416, like from Ontario, and I said, okay, it's a buddy of mine calling me, you know, like, just answer the phone, and like, hey, what's going on, blah, 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 and he's speaking to me in French. I'm like, okay, so that's, you know, something's happening here. And then at some point he switched to English and he says, hey, it's, he says it's, Hugh Scully. And he says, I'm calling from the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. And, I want to tell you that you're being inducted this, this year. And I mean, I thought it was a joke. Honestly, I thought I was like switching from French to English. And I was like, not sure who was talking. I was like, hey, really? But, no, it was not a joke, and I actually took it very seriously quick enough. So I was I had some chills. I was very, very happy about it. I was not ready to have that phone call, but I was very honored to have it, that's for sure.
LP, it is well-deserved, I must say, and it's congratulations to you and really to your family and the passion, the dedication, everything that you guys have done in this sport. Is anyone else in your family been inducted into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame, or are you going to be the first one out of the family?
Actually, I'm the first one, and my brother is just a little older, and JF Dumoulin has done a lot in racing, won the Rolex 24-Hour of Daytona twice, won some Grand Am Championship in endurance racing, so I was actually expecting him to be there before me, but I guess just timing-wise, it was my year, so I mean, 2020 is different to a lot of stuff, so I guess... here we are, and I was super pleased to get it first in my family. But honestly, I just got to thanks to everybody that was involved in that. And that whole deal goes to the team. I mean, it's one thing to be behind the wheel, and I know that, you know, the driver gets a lot of the highlight stuff, but you know how it is. It's the whole teamwork since the beginning of my career. Yes, we have been with WeatherTech and Belmar for about like 9 years, 10 years now. We won championships together, many races, 2 championships together. We've done so much, and I'm not done racing, be aware of that. But there's a lot that was built behind me as well into the, you know, with one-seater stuff, and then I've done some Formula Ford, won a championship with AIM Motorsport. I've done a lot of racing and doing the 24-Hour of Daytona, 12-Hour Sebring podium there as well with WeatherTech. But so meaning that there's a lot of people that's been helping me since the beginning of my career, and that whole deal goes to them as well. I mean, if they're not there, I'm not here talking about being inducted in the Hall in the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, that's for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. It takes an army of people in behind the scenes to make champions, and really that's what the Dumoulin Racing family has all been about, is to go out there and get everything done. You one-up JF. That's got to be cool. You got, that's a little dig for you. You're going to be able to say, hey, JF, I'll tell you about that.
that's so funny because when I went to get the trophy twice now for the championship in Charlotte, on the podium there, I was telling the whole people that was, you know, in the stadium or that place there where you get the trophy, it was like, my brother has 2 Rolex watch, you know, that he won at the 24-Hour of Daytona. And I had 2 rings, you know, from NASCAR. We were both bragging about it and, you know, kind of having fun about it. But, yeah, I wanted that one to get into the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. I'm super proud of it. But I'm super proud for JF and my whole team, family, wife, kids, but all my friends and fans and partners that's been involved since the beginning, all my sponsors that's been involved since the beginning, because you know it is, you know, you go up the ladder in racing, it takes more and more money, but it takes at the beginning, it takes that little spark and people that just believe in you to get you going. And that's what I would say to people that wants to help kids to get going in racing. Believe in them, get them the little kick in the butt to get going, and then at one point you never know where it's going to bring and what's going to happen with that. So here we go. That's for all those people that's been involved. And but as I told you, we're not done, and we want to win more races for WeatherTech and Benmar. We want to win more championship for them and everybody that's been involved. And and we're very pumped about it. The motivation is really high up right now in the shop and at home. So we just can't wait to get back to the racetrack.
So do you get to wear one of his Rolexes, and does he get to wear one of your rings, or how does that work?
I love that. Yeah, I wish, but just from, I don't know, there's something there that doesn't, it has to belong to you.
That's right.
I can tell you one thing. I don't wear a watch because I always thought one day I would wear one of those Rolex, but I don't know. We'll see.
That's too funny. LP, you know, we may as well take – I know you're not done racing yet, but it's nice to reflect back. I know you mentioned the Formula Ford stuff back in the day. We all know your stats in the NASCAR Pinty Series / NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. We know that you've you know, done stuff at the top side of this sport. Where did LP Dumoulin get his start? Where was your first ever race? And kind of give us a little bit of a reflection back on the beginnings of LP Dumoulin's racing career.
Well, to start with, JF and I, we didn't get the chance to start with karting. We went, my dad had a little garage there, and then after school we were working on scrapyard cars like a Volkswagen Rabbit and a Renault 5, my brother and I. So we had those little tires that had little spikes on those tires, little nails that we went on the lake during the winter.
Okay, ice racing.
And then we started ice racing pretty much. And then afterwards, worked at Jim Russell Racing School as a mechanic in the mechanic championship. Funny enough, my first class at the Jim Russell, it's a Formula Ford kind of racing school, Jim Russell, and then in the days at Mont Tremblant, first class, Thursday, I almost got kicked out because I was not a great listener. Same at school. I think I was 15 or 14 years old. I almost got kicked out, but here we go. They gave me a second chance. I was listening better after it. And then we went to Formula Ford, Formula Atlantic, Formula Renault, and then went to sports cars, did the 24-hour Daytona, you know, all kinds of endurance racing with sports cars. Did well before that, did well in the single-seater. But at one point it was all about, you know, finding a way to get some sponsorship involved within a package that can be win-win in between let's go racing, but as well as when the people sponsors you, the series like NASCAR is behind your team, behind the driver, to make sure you have a good marketing package so you can give it back to the sponsors. So they, you know, they invest money on you, but as well as when they invest money, they know that you're going to give it, you got to get it back with the good marketing part of it. And it was super important because we've been involved in trying to get sponsors since the beginning of our career. And that's when we decided in 2007 or 8, JF bought a car from Scott Stickley. And then, and then we went to towards NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, and that was a great decision. And I think that's where the Dumoulin competition team kind of started up.
Absolutely.
And then here we are now. I wanted to make a short story because this story is so long. There's so much behind it. But that's pretty much what we tried to do, and I had a lot of fun doing it. I had a lot of fun in the Formula Car Series. We did well in those series, but we had to switch towards other kind of spot, like sports cars, and then NASCAR, because that's where, you know, the journey brought me up to, and then that's what we had to do to make sure we can get going with a good marketing package. And I think that since day one with WeatherTech and Venmar, that's what we wanted to do, is make sure it's a win-win deal, going racing, but as well as the sponsor gets a really good exposure so they can you know, for our end, sell great throw liners every Monday morning when we win races.
Absolutely. And I will say this about that. I stand, you know, relatively close to your spotter, Eric. And it's interesting that you said that you just about got kicked out for not listening. I know for a fact that you don't always listen to him. And he always says that. But the difference is now you own the team, right? So now you can just, you don't have to listen.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. I still have to listen.
I'm kidding.
I think I've learned to listen. Hey, I'm married. I got two kids, so I better listen here and there.
That's right.
Better listen. You'll get cuffed. We're with L.P. Dumoulin. He is heading for the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. He will be inducted February. Is that correct? I believe I read that somewhere. Things with the pandemic, of course, L.P., have been pushed off now to February. They're hoping to get it in come February. Is that what you've heard, too?
Yeah, yes, and then, I mean, at this point, I mean, it's a special year for sure, and we hope 2021 is going to be different for everybody, but as it is now, it's pending. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be virtual or if it's going to be, you know, the luxury of seeing all of us together somewhere, obviously following all the safety rules, but so for now, we're just waiting for it, but it's totally fine for me. I mean, it was a great news, and I'm super pumped, and I'm very proud to represent my team and my sponsors for the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame, and we'll see. So for now, it's just, as a lot of people, we're just waiting to see what's going to happen with the pandemic.
Well, I'll tell you what, LP, you're in for a treat. Hopefully you can go down to Toronto and have the night that I know Sue and I were at the Motorsports Hall of Fame when John Chisholm was inducted, and it's truly a spectacular night. They do a phenomenal job with it, and it's truly an honor to be all part of it. And you know what? You deserve it. I'm just hoping, LP, I'm really hoping now, maybe, just maybe, WeatherTech will give you a cup phone.
Yeah, well, we all need one. You know, we all need the laser-measured flow liners, and we need the cup phone, that's for sure. And I gotta say congrats to everybody that's been inducted this year, but as well as everybody that's in the Hall of Fame. I'm very proud and honored to be part of it. And I got so much for just respect for everybody that's involved in it or that everybody that's inducting it. It's great. It's unbelievable. And I think it's very important. It's very important that everybody highlight the hard work of all the drivers and everybody involved in racing.
Well, you're going to fit right in. I can guarantee you that the hall gets one bigger and it gets another great one. And I know you're not even close to being done. I can't wait to hear what we've got coming down the pipe for 2021. And I know LP will do that in the off season. Junior and I are going to let you get Christmas in and under the books. And then look out, we're coming at you to find out what the plan is for that 47 car. And we'll get you on record.
Indeed, my friends. Believe me, we're working very hard for more big trophies.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Give us one more laser measured.
Laser measured.
Yes, there it is. There it is.
LP, you have a good one. Merry Christmas to you and yours. Have a great one, and I know we look forward to getting back in touch with you one other time.
Yeah, y'all have a great one. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You betcha. L.P. Dumoulin. So cool to hear that L.P. is going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. That guy's a cool dude.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, you heard him talk about the marketing.
You
heard him talk about the marketing aspect of his team.
Yeah.
They do a wonderful job with that. And really, you know, you look at that, you know, the entire team does a great job, but Jessica, you know, part of his team, really the backbone of all the public relations and marketing that team, you know, puts out there for all of us to consume. She does a great job, and you know, his entire team, just a class act and a lot of fun, you know, to race against. It's they bring their A game every single track. Doesn't matter where it is. It seems like he gets up on the wheel, and it's just a tremendous amount of fun to see the success that they're having.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next guest that's coming up on the other side of the break, he's been out of a race car for a little bit, but I'll tell you, he has got one storied career. He is still in this sport big time. Running one of Canada's finest facilities, Alex Nagy is going to join us on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Junior and I are going to be back, providing the wind don't blow us away.
Hey, race fans, this is Ernie Irvin. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady. Me, anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports. Me, I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
We are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. And while I've got your ear for a moment, maybe, just maybe you only tuned into Racetime Radio on Sirius XM, Channel 167, I urge you to check out our channel. It's a great channel. We've got some dynamite programming on this channel. Listeners that listen to 167 all the time already know it, but maybe you don't frequent 167 all the time and you just tune in for your racing fix. I urge you to come back and check it out throughout the course of the day and late night. We got great programming on this channel all the way through, and definitely have a listen to it. And I do believe Racetime Radio is now available on the Sirius XM app. If you happen to have missed the show and you want to go back and have a listen to it, you can always check us out on the Sirius XM app. And that's the way that is. Junior, we're going to have Alex Nagy up here in short order.
Yes.
And he is also going into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. And another well-deserved inductee. Alex, what a career that guy had in his race car. He was a threat to win absolutely every race when he jumped into it. He was one of those guys that everybody had to keep their eye on, and it's just one of those deals.
Absolutely, and a second generation as well. That was something that jumped off the page at me. Obviously, I'm a younger guy. I I don't know all of the generations on the motorsports side, but when I read that, I didn't really understand, or I didn't know that he was a second generation driver in the Nagy family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Definitely pretty cool. And obviously we've got to know him, you know, through on the promoter side, and doing a great job at everything that he does.
And look, Carson's coming up in his footsteps.
Absolutely.
So too cool. We do have Alex Nagy with us. We got him over on line six. What's going on tonight there, champ? How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, Alex, first of all, thanks so much for the time tonight. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on the induction into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. I know it hasn't happened yet, but you're about to go in. That's cool.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And quite a surprise. You know, I'm not gonna lie. Quite a surprise. And, of course, once it sunk in, you realize how much of an honor, it's quite the honor. And when the Dr. Heath Scully called me, that was cool. And I thought, why is Mr. Scully calling me? And, he broke the news. And it is so nice to hear it from him. He's so highly regarded in our sport and in his profession. So that was nice. And like I say, it was a surprise. And, you just start thinking about all the different reasons why you're at that point, and it's really not me. It's everything that I've been able to do, or people I've been around, and crews that I've had, and great race cars I've been able to drive, and opportunities, whether it be down in Tennessee or, working for NASCAR, being able to be part of the group to resurrect UCASA, and, you don't realize, I guess, when you start thinking back about all the different things that you've been fortunate enough to be a part of in this sport, and it starts to make a little bit of sense. But it still doesn't change the fact that it's a huge honor.
Pretty wild when you go back and see how much water's got under the bridge, and to see all what you have been involved with. When did you get your start? What was your first race, Alex?
1981, Flamborough in a street stock. And, I raced there right until there and, different places, raced with you up at Sauble and raced all over Ontario. And Flamborough was always our home track, and we were fortunate to accomplish a bunch of stuff, had our own car, family car, and then I was fortunate enough to get hooked up with Sam Rounce, and then we did really well with that late model car and worked with Randy Slack and got a chance to drive his Mustang once, and got the chance to drive his second. We built that brand new Gator big rig actually in our shop, and got a chance to, I was guinea pig. Randy sent me out in that thing till we got it straightened out, and I got to drive his original truck too. We won a race down in Florida with that, and in the off season. So, a bunch of different stuff for sure. And then we went to CASCAR in '93. We didn't know how we were going to do that because we couldn't afford it, but we were just ready for a new challenge. And, we were fortunate that we raced some at Delaware, started to go to as many Super Series races as we could. And we haven't got enough time to talk about how it happened, but we ended up getting connected with General Motors of Canada and had under the Ace Delco banner for 5 years, which was, crazy. I mean, of course, EJ blows that out of the water with 8 million years of cash control, but... it was a long time. It is a long time to be with a big corporation, and that was really fun to be part of as well. So, all kinds of different things, and it's been, I guess at that point started to dabble in the admin side a little bit. Became a legend car dealer here, got that thing rolling, and then, like I say, moved to Tennessee. Worked for a company that had a Busch team, a Cup team, and Galaxy Motorsports, and three racetracks in Tennessee. So I was able to work at that for 4 years down south. Learned a lot.
Man.
And, come back here and started dabbling on this end of it again.
The pressure, Alex, take us back to the AC Delco car, the 93 CAS car, biggest thing in Canada, biggest series in Canada. The pressures that came with being in that 93 car and the pressures there were to win. Was it as extreme as what it is today?
Oh, I would say more, because every race you went to, there's a really a legitimate chance that you weren't going to be in the show. If you slipped up once and you weren't ready, you know, there was 40 cars. Sometimes, you know, more than 40 cars for 24 spots, depending on where we raced. You know, sometimes 32. But it was, yeah, it was, I mean, anytime you're involved with a big corporation, there's always that added pressure, because you're, you know, things can change at any time. And when I got together with Larry Fink, who headed that program up, I remember the first sentence he said to me, you know, if we do this, I'm just letting you know that part of us being involved with you is for you to win. You know.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, but that was good. You know, with Larry, you knew where you stood, and it was a great company, great people, and, you know, got to meet so many good people. And, I mean, that's probably been the biggest part of the whole journey up to this point, is just the, you know, the people that you... sometimes you forget about how many people you're fortunate enough to meet, and how many you know, and, you know, not only just in motorsports, but meet them through motorsports, but they're, you know, they're in some other business or do something else. So that's, you know, probably the coolest part of all of it. It's fun to do well in business. It's fun to do, you know, to compete, and it's fun to win races. But, you know, the friendships all along the way are definitely the thing that I hold the most value to.
And, you know, when you look back, Tony Novotny, the owner of Cascar, he ran a tight ship. You know, we always hear stories, and I seen it from my own eyes down at New Smyrna Speedway when ACT came into New Smyrna Speedway, and I listened to Tom Curley, and he would read the riot act to the guys before a race, and they were there for two nights, so I seen the first night show. Man, it was a great show. Not a lot of shenanigans happened, but Tom, man, he was really hard on those guys for night two. He wanted a perfect race, and he always strived to make these guys better. And I know Tony Novotny was like that too. Take us back inside one of those drivers' meetings when you were in that team. It must have been something else.
Yeah, you know, he was the same. It's like anything when you're involved with it at the time. Of course, he is the, you know, meanest, baddest SOB you ever wanted to meet. Didn't know anything, and it's like, you know, it's like everything else. Once you get towards, you finish up in that part of your life, and you start thinking about it. You know, he's probably the smartest promoter I ever met in my life, and way, way, way ahead of his time, in my opinion. You know, Mr. Slack was the same in his role as a track promoter. He did things that some people still don't do today. And Tony was the same way, from, you know, running a series and running a racetrack and doing all that stuff and making that thing go national across the country. You know, he, unreal. And yeah, he'd put the hammer down when he needed. If we were out of town and people were acting up, he'd catch wind of it somehow. It was like a father. He's like everybody's father. And there'd be a phone call, or sometimes maybe meeting in the parking lot out in Calgary for once, as a matter of fact, one time. And that's why he was so successful. He was respectful, but he asked a lot of us, and I think he got it.
And you weren't meeting for beers out in that parking lot, guaranteed.
No, we weren't. Nope.
You were talking about beers, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of fun. Obviously, you know, going in as a competitor, and as a competitor, you got to jump behind the wheel of a lot of really cool pieces of machinery. And you get to see all different types of machinery out on the racetrack at Jucasa and everywhere you go. What was the coolest piece of equipment that you got to drive, Alex?
I think any racer will tell you they're all cool, whether it's a go-kart, mini stock, late model, whatever. But I think that, and I touched on it earlier, probably the most unique and strangest thing and at first scariest thing that I ever drove was a Gator big rig.
Yep.
10,000 pounds, tons of horsepower, no tires. It was probably the biggest challenge. That was something that, of course, I had a great teacher with Randy. He was so good. But, you know, I'd never drove anything that big, not even on the road. And, throwing that 10,000-pounder in the corner wherever we went was pretty wild, I'll tell you that. And it was a heck of a series. There were some great competitors in there. I remember at Cayuga, and I qualified, I think, outside front row, and we're having a driver's meeting, and there's a bunch of those guys or girls. I think Shauna Robbins was there too, so I should say both, but they all kind of went to the series director and said, there's no way that guy is his first or my second truck race or something, and he shouldn't start on the pole or on the outside pole. It's going to be dangerous, blah, 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 blah. And so anyways, he brought it up at the driver's meeting, and he said, you know, we've got a rookie here, and he's fast here today, probably because it's his home track, and, you know, we've had some concerns about whether or not we should let you start there. And Dick Murtaugh from New York, who is he's a superstar on dirt and all kinds of different things he wrote. He's a rough, gruff guy. He's kind of like a Don Biederman of truck racing.
Yeah.
And he stood up at the driver's meeting, and he pointed at the race director, and he said, listen, the only reason he's second outside is because he is faster than the rest of us. And if any of these guys watched, you'll know that the only reason that they're asking them to go to the back is they're afraid they're going to get their ass whooped. So, and, you know, from then on, I had never spoke to Dick before in my life. And then from then on, we still talk, actually, still stay in contact via Facebook. And I'll never forget him sticking up for me. And we ended up having some problems, didn't win, but we did win in Florida, I think, that winter. So, yeah, that was a cool moment for sure.
That's what yeah, this is all about.
That's
I
what
love
the Hall
stories.
Of Fame is all
that's
about.
Right, that's
and
right.
And Alex Nagy is yeah. going in.
Alex, you know, obviously, you know, with the big rigs, where all did you race those trucks? Like, you know, obviously there was probably a lot of racetracks, but give us the cliff notes on where you would
yeah.
take those trucks.
I didn't get a chance to race them a lot, Joe, because we were doing the cash car thing.
Yep.
We were at Tioga, and I raced a cash car two or 300 laps and 100-lap big rig race in the same day. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And jumping from one to the other. And so I got to race there whenever I was. It was always easy to race at the races at home if I was in town. And then in the wintertime, whenever I could, you know, I'd go down if the schedule had some Florida races, Kentucky. So I was at Kentucky, Florida, Citrus County, Orlando Speed World. Where else did I race? That was probably the only three tracks that I was fortunate enough to race in and or to race on and with the big rig. And I would have loved to have done more.
I guarantee your cast car wasn't tight that day.
Yeah.
It didn't
no,
feel tight
no,
at all.
No, it
never.
Felt like a feather.
A car turns perfect,
no,
guys.
That was a shock, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, I got a great Tony Novotny story. You know, you want to hear some, if you got the time.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, we sure do.
You know, talk about
away.
Tony. And, you know, like you said, as you know, at that time, General Motors, Ford, and Mopar, Chrysler was, all three manufacturers were huge in Canadian motorsports, and especially cast car. That was awesome. I mean, the rivalries we got going. And I mean, I can tell you now, but all the way through when I was sponsored by General Motors, Rick Williams, God rest his soul, he's not with us anymore, but he was the top Dodge guy. And he tried to recruit me from the day I stepped and had my first General Motors tag on my car. And we'd spend a bunch of time together when we're out of town, in town, and he always tried to convert me, and he always kidded with the General Motors execs that he was going to get me into a Dodge, and it was just fun. And anyways, at that time, the new Dodge, the open-wheel Dodge, what was that little car?
The open-wheel,
the Plymouth Prowler?
Yeah, the Prowler. It had just come out, and we raced at Delaware that day, and it was starting to get dark. And Rick Williams always stayed back for beers. And there was a pile of us there. And Rick's, you know, me and Rick both had, you know, we were both going to have to get a ride home. There's no doubt about it. But he said, Nagy, come on, hop in this Prowler and show me what this thing will do. So, okay, absolutely. So we hop in this Prowler, the top's off it, and get out on Delaware. And it's partially dark. There's a few little lights on in the pit area. And he's pushing me, get after it, man. You know, if we would have wrecked, we would have been in serious trouble. No helmets. I don't think we put a seatbelt on. And
yeah.
And he go, lap after lap. Well, sure, here comes Tony running down the grandstands. I see him coming off turn four. I see him with the corner of my eye. Start slow down a bit because he's right down, jumps onto the racetrack, arms waving, yelling, screaming. I could almost hear him over the car. And I stop, and, of course, right to the driver's side. what the, I can't even tell you what he said on on air, but you know what the you know what Nagy you think you're doing, and just, I mean, giving it to me, and he's so incensed that he didn't even know who I was with. And at that time, of course, Mopar and Rick Williams was one of his major sponsors, not just in the series, but race events, blah blah blah.
Absolutely.
If you looked up and you seen Rick sitting there, oh hey Rick, how you doing? Hey guys, carry on, have a good time.
That's awesome.
So I went from getting my butt kicked out to carry on, do whatever you want, whatever's good.
So that was funny. So his name became Get Out of Jail Free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only for that day.
That's right.
Only
That's
for
right.
that day.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Alex, we're with Alex Nagy. He is, of course, with Yocasta Motor Speedway today. But he has a long storied career, as you are well witness to here tonight on Race Time, in short track racing right here in the province of Ontario. He was down south. He's been all over the place, and he's going to go into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame if you just joined us now. Alex, you take all the experience coming out of that race car, out of that truck, out of all the stuff that you've done, and all of a sudden you get that phone call. You're going to run Canada's national tour in NASCAR. What was that conversation like? And, man, you did a lot with the Canadian national tour.
Yeah. You know, so I'd mentioned I've been down south, and that deal went a bit sour with some partnership splitting. And it was, you know, it was a big commitment to sell everything we had here. Took our son, had our daughter while we lived down there. And, you know, we just picked up camp and moved down there. You know, of course, Sandy and Tyler and Lexi, you know, they've been my biggest supporters for sure. I mean, they've been without their father for weeks on end, sometimes a month, and traveled all over the place with me, moved with me to a different country. So they're, you know, I got to thank them first and foremost. But when that deal fell apart down there, you know, you know what I'm talking about a little bit, Joe. You know, when something ends and you come back, it's a bit of a lunch bag letdown. And when you pour, and, you know, we know this sport's a volatile sport. You know, it can be great and it can be really bad. And I thought, you know, I said to myself, I'm not ever going to do this race thing full time again. I've been, you know, between the down south thing and before that, I had my own business running legend cars and doing some driving schools and doing that full time. So, you know, it kind of got, it was kind of dejecting when that all came to a grinding halt. So then I crew chief for some guys that, you know, it transformed into the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. Crew chief for some guys, got to meet, you know, some people, and crew chief Tagliani to his first NASCAR win in Edmonton. That's where, you know, we became friends, and he went back to IndyCar. When he said when he was going back, he actually offered me a full-time position to do whatever I thought would fit to stay with him, and I wouldn't do that again. I didn't want to commit to that, so I kept my real job and did some it spotted for him and driver coach, and you know, that was a huge highlight too. I wasn't driving, obviously, but we won the pole for the Indy 500 together. That was exciting. You know, I thought I'll never do this full time, like I said. And then, yes, like you said, I got a phone call from Brad Moran. He'd got promoted, obviously, to go to Charlotte to oversee NASCAR Canadian Tire Series at the time, Pinty Series now, plus K&N and, you know, Mexico and the Euro thing was starting up at that time. So it was a tough decision. Actually, at the same time, I'm a maintenance mechanic by trade. At the exact same time, my boss, the facilities manager, was leaving. And he had groomed me for his position a little bit. Mm. And the exact same, within 3 days, I was offered two jobs. Yeah. And what's the chances of that ever happening again? I could have, you know, got promoted at my current job. And then the NASCAR thing came about. And like I say, it all happened at the same time. At the same time, my boss got a job offer at U of T. So it was a crazy 2-3 weeks. And, you know, I have to tell you, I couldn't decide. I liked my job, and I was afraid to jump back into motorsports full-time. And, you know, we're sitting at home, and Sandy said, you know, and she knew I couldn't. I was pulling my hair out, and that's what happened. That's why I'm partially bald now. And, you know, we're sitting there, and she looked at me, and she said, Alex, you know what? If you take your promotion at work, you'll do it. You'll have fun. You know, you'll excel. It would be a great move. But if you don't take this NASCAR job, you'll be kicking your butt for the rest of your life. And that was my decision. That, and I phoned next morning, and I took the NASCAR job and turned down my job at work. And, yeah, no regrets. It was great to get back in full time. Of course, the knowledge that's in that system and the people I got to meet and the things that I learned and got trained on. You know, we all like to pick on the big guys, and we all like to pick on NASCAR. Fans like to pick on NASCAR, but one thing for sure, I'll tell you, they're talented, they're smart, they know what they're doing. Mm. And if you don't learn anything working there, then shame on you. Mm. And, you know, fortunately, I still have those relationships today with all those people. And so, if you'd have told me 10 years ago I'd work for the biggest sanctioned body in the world, NASCAR, and then get a chance to be part of the rebuild of your most favorite racetrack, I would have said you're crazy, but here I am.
Yeah, and behind every successful man has got to be a supportive wife. And that's so cool, Alex, that, you got that push. You got to get back into the sport. And then you go from the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and the Pindy Series. Then you step out of that, and I was going, Alex, where are you going? Everything is flying. And all of a sudden, then we find out about Jukasa, and things are going to come together, and Canada's crown jewel is actually going to come back online, and this is huge news.
Yeah, it was, again, I can honestly say I don't think I ever looked for a new job or looked to leave any position I've had, because I've liked everywhere that I worked. But at the same time, I didn't know at the time, but I look back now and realize that whenever a new challenge presented itself that I thought was exciting, I always jumped at it. And, when I met the owners, it was actually to save a bit of face with NASCAR, because they had this guy helping them at the time, and it didn't work out, and they were afraid of maybe what he had said or what he had said to me or what they thought he might have, or didn't know what he had told me, so they wanted to try to keep that relationship together, and with potential of having a race down the road. And yeah, one thing led to another, and at the end of that season, we talked some more, and of course, obviously, they offered me a position, and that was a tough one too. It was really tough, but in our sport, I'd traveled forever, whether it be on my own racing or, moved out of the country for a while, following IndyCar, working at NASCAR, traveling all over the place. And it's fun, everybody thinks traveling's great, and it is, and I don't regret none of it. And I miss it a little bit now, but when I had the chance to get off the road and work, obviously really close to home, and once I realized that the ownership was totally committed, again, it's my favorite place, and not because I'm here now, but it is my favorite place, always was, always loved going there to race. And when there's an opportunity, I thought it was the way I should go.
And well, you did it, and you did it right. Alex, can I get you just to hang on just a moment? We've got to throw it back to Toronto for a 90-second news update, and then we're coming back for hour two. I still got a couple questions here I'd like to ask you if you still have time.
Absolutely, no problem.
Okay, now it's going to sound a little dark. We will be back with you, though. You just stay right there, and we are going to throw it back to you, Scotty, in Toronto. We will be back for hour two. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. Racetime Radio.
With the two Joes.
Here on Racetime Radio.
On Sirius XM 167.
Where Canada talks.
And just like that, we are back with you for hour two tonight, live on Sirius XM Channel 167, Canada Talks. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the Racetime Radio studio. And on the hotline, we have got Alex Nagy, all set and ready to go come February into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. And a well-deserved inductee is Alex. We've talked about the past, the beginning, the middle, and now we're getting closer to the end, and not really the end, but to where Alex is today. Alex, you were working with NASCAR. You took everything to the next level here in Canada, and then you step aside, and I wondered where you were going, and presto, in comes Jukasa Motor Speedway. And man, oh man, what a job you've done there and with that facility. We've seen the Canadian Short Track Nationals all start up. You're putting together stuff that's going to last in the history books for a long time. You got to be loving where you're at today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, this position is kind of a culmination of all of your experiences. When, you know, we hired a designer from Indianapolis who designed Iowa. Of course, I, you know, had that connection through NASCAR. Got a chance to be a huge part of the design. They're great. I challenged them on some things, and they listened, and they showed me why they were right most of the time. And I'd throw some ideas out, and if it made sense, they applied it. And, you know, they realized I had some experience, so they wanted me to do that. Being able to design the whole infield myself with the guy that did the drawing on a CAD program was cool. Just building in safety features, different things that you learn. Hired asphalt consultant that works for NASCAR that's paved, you know, Watkins Glen, Daytona, Phoenix, done so many racetracks, and he's so smart. Great investments to get good people. You know, those guys built a great racetrack, ranked in construction from St. Catharines, did the paving and the grading. And, yeah, and you know, you say I've done a good job. Well, I'm a small part of it. The people that built it, people that designed it, did a great job. Ownership is super supportive. We've got, you know, a great team of people that had a huge part in all of it, and we're, you know, we're not done. We still have some building to do. We need to still continue to improve. Like any business, you can't just stand still. But, you know, and then being able to hopefully work with the competitors, understanding that side and having some experience in the fan side and what required on that side. So, you know, I think this position, you're able to put all of your different experiences in the industry and in business to work, because it's not just one, you know, single faceted. So, it's been fun, and, you know, I'm learning every day, talk to people all the time, and steal ideas, steal knowledge whenever I can, because there's a lot of smart people out there. And just love to talk about the sport with anybody and see what you can learn about it, and, you know, try to make it better. Just for us at UCAS, I mean, for me personally, the strength and the healthiness of our industry, our sport, in our country is paramount, and if I can do anything to help, I will.
Well, and you're doing a dynamite job at it. Isn't it funny how, you know, when you stand here and you look back over everything, and it's all about the connections. It's all about, do I stay in the sport? Do I leave the sport? Do I get something that is more traditional, more concrete? And you don't know. You don't know. You just take the leap of faith. And if there's anything that I have taken away from my time in this business, and I've absolutely loved every minute, and I've hated a bunch, and when I look back, I always say, and I've said to Sue, my wife, a number of times, you know, things are going really good right now. And that's the time that you really, really got to look over your shoulder, because you're about to hit the floor again. And when you're on the bottom and you're on the floor, get ready, because things are going to turn and you're going to go back up there. And that's just the way this sport is. And, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, is it?
No, it's not. You know, if you've been around it for any amount of time, like yourself, and as you know, if you're able to be in this industry for a fairly long period of time, you are a survivor for sure. And you always find ways to crawl back up, you know, get back up. I totally agree with that. Whether it's competing or on this side of it, whatever it may be, it's, you're right. It's not for the faint of heart, but that's okay. It's not for everybody. And, I'm just glad I'm one of them that's able to be in it.
Yeah, you and I both. Man, you know what I can't wait for, and I hope I'm a fly on the wall someday when I see you fly down that grandstand at Jukasa, waving your arms at that young guy that's whipping around that racetrack out there and happens to be Tony sitting beside him. Sorry about that, everybody. Here on Sirius XM Channel 167, we had a big power outage. Good news is, we still have Alex Nagy with us live on the hotline. Alex, where were we? We were talking.
We're talking a little bit of everything.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you'd mentioned if, you know, maybe one time I'll be the guy running down in the racetrack stopping some young punk from going around doing some laps.
That's right.
And I'm sure I've had some of those moments already to a certain degree. But like I think I'd said when we went black there, if I can do that and I'm a little bit like Tony and know a little bit of what he knows, then I'll be happy.
Incredible.
Alex, you know, we've obviously got you on the program talking about the Hall of Fame induction, but I think every one of our listeners here is definitely interested in hearing, you know, your take on what 2021 is going to look like at Jukasa. The pandemic really threw a wrench into everything in 2020, but you guys got off the ground, had a few races, you know, did what you could. But, you know, all the big plans that were 2020 were definitely put on the back burner for this season. What's 2021 look like for you currently at this point in time? And what can everybody look forward to as long as Mother Nature gets rid of this pandemic?
Yeah, you know, pretty much everything as we had planned will be the same for the most part, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's unfortunately the pandemic is continuing to throw a wrench into everybody's life, and you know, we're just moving ahead like it's normal.
Yep.
It's all you can do. You can't wait, and you have to be ready, and you have to plan. And you know, the time gives you one thing about it. You know, you again through this, you're not able to do very much, but you sure start to figure out some different things, and you learn a lot even if you're doing nothing or almost nothing, because you know, you try to stay relevant and try to, you know, think about, I can, you know, we probably had throughout the summer 15 different plans. You know, it seemed like every second day you adjusted, and I'm not sure, I mean, I guess the big thing is whether or not we end up with a vaccine that's readily available, and if it works, I think that'll be a game changer. But I don't see, unfortunately, right now, if I had to tell you, I don't see it being normal yet.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's heartbreaking, that's for sure. And I know you, Senior, understand it, and I know you've been pretty vocal towards government, and I'm sure not only us, every business in the country is looking for some sort of a handout or financial help, because it's a tough spot to be in. When you can't, you know, yeah, we had some races. I know you had one at Sauble too, and it's not like it was a moneymaker. It was hopefully something that would just continue to stimulate our sport and keep people interested in, get it to the fans how we could. In this case, it was, you know, via internet or YouTube. So, you know, I think it was important that everybody that did stuff in Ontario did what they did and or what they could, if it made sense. And I think that it would have been a huge, huge void if none of us did nothing. I think it would have been bad. So, yeah, I mean, if anybody, I think anybody that's listening and anybody in our country right now, probably any country right now, I don't think anybody can give a concrete answer on anything except that we're just forging ahead with ourselves, and we're going to be ready to go. And if we're able to, we'll be wide open. And even though we didn't have some events last year, you know, we've had all summer to think about how we can even make the ones we didn't have better. And that's all you can do. You just got to be ready, and let's hope that we get some stuff semi-normal here and get the big fear out of it. It's a crazy disease for sure, but you know, we have to forge ahead and we have to be ready to go.
Well, the first thing first, and that's going to be getting you inducted into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. That'll come up in February. Fingers crossed you get the big night. Alex, I believe, have you been to one of the big soiree presentations? I know I've been to one. It's a tremendous evening.
Yeah, they do a great job. And, you know, that can be affected, too. We don't know for sure yet how they're going to do it or how we're going to be able to do it, but however it is, it'll be an honor. And if they phone me on the telephone and do an interview, it'd be disappointing not to be part of the big deal, but it's big picture is, you know, I'm going to be inducted into the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame. I thought it was incredible honor to be inducted into Flamborough Speedway Hall of Fame, and it sure is. But, you know, this kind of is definitely icing on the cake.
Yeah, it sure is. And it doesn't matter how we cut it. We will still do a party at some point. The 2021 schedule for Jukasa, is it anywhere close to being sort of formalized, tentative, sort of?
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, with us, I mean, we obviously have a lot of U.S. participation. We have a monster truck show we would have had for the first time last year that comes from the U.S. So that, you know, we'll probably finalize that new date this week coming. And, you know, for the U.S. participants, again, we just don't know about borders, but we're just going to forge ahead. And as far as Ontario, the APC series, I think there's I don't think there is a proposed schedule. A bunch of us met with APC last week, and that's getting close to being done. I've been in conversations with NASCAR Pinty Series office, so you know, everybody's on the same page, just making schedules and finalizing things. And it's just I think that we're going to be able to be, you know, we always strive to be ready before Christmas, and I don't see this year being any different. Of course, it'll be different. There's not going to be any shows or trade shows to be part of course. And then, you know, the biggest thing after that is going to be how do you go to market. For the most part, you know, we do a bunch of pre-sales at our facility, and we did a bunch last year prior to COVID. And, you know, we've got great race fans, and I'd say 95% of everybody just rolled their stuff over to 2021, and which is really nice of them. So, but having more pre-sales once we announce our schedule, go back online with it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how many people are willing to purchase anything, not knowing if there's going to be races again. So, it's definitely going to be it's going to alter things 100%, and you know, I mean, it's just the unknown. I mean, if we're able to open up in May or June normally, we still know there's going to be an effect because there's going to be people with financial complications. There's going to be people that are still not going to want to be part of big gatherings. There's going to, you know, you just don't know how it's going to affect your fan base. Hopefully people are starving and they want a bunch of it and can't wait to get out and do stuff like that. Hopefully that's the case, but there'll be a certain amount that will affect our revenue stream, that, you know, maybe sponsors, some that aren't in business anymore, all those things. So the only thing is, you know, we're not going to know what those effects are until we open the gates and see who shows up.
Well, that's why we've got guys like you in positions like you're in, so that we can forge ahead, make some new history, and be set and ready to go to make more history. Alex, this has been great catching up with you tonight. On behalf of everyone here at Racetime, congratulations on the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. You're well-deserved in it, my friend, and I know we look forward to getting together again as soon as the snow's gone, or at least going And we look for big things out of 2021, and we'll get you back on here. As you get things cemented and ready to rock and roll, we'll get you back on here, and we'll get it out to absolutely everybody.
I appreciate it, and stay safe, you folks, and to all our fans and our competitors that are listening, stay safe, and we hope to see everybody really soon.
Absolutely. That is Alex Nagy. Alex, thanks for the time, buddy. Be safe.
Thank you.
You betcha. And that is Alex. Great to hear from Alex. And you know what? Another one of those guys, well-deserved, going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. And great stories. You know, it's
sure
there's,
is.
There's a tremendous amount of history there. It's cool to look forward to 2021 and to see. It will be interesting. You know, there was a three-year plan laid out for the Short Track Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of question as to what is happening with the Canadian Short Track Nationals. Does it skip a year in that proposed, or does it restart back up, you know, on the payout side, for that massive event? So all of that stuff is things to come, and it will be interesting. I will tell you this. I was at Jocassa a handful of times this year. The facility looks great.
Yeah.
It was ready to go for 2020. That's for sure. And you know, the grounds and the facility, there was a tremendous amount of improvements made to everywhere on the racetrack, and they're doing a great job over there.
Well, we want to welcome back all the listeners to Racetime Radio. We did go dark. We did lose connection. We did all of that stuff because the studio went absolutely black. Good part about it was only a quick on and off, but it did knock us offline for absolutely everything. But good news is we're back up for now, are the key words. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, I got to let you know, too, Steve Robley. We had Steve all lined up for tonight's show with all the wind, with all the stuff that's happening here in the province of Ontario. Steve got called to work. So we will delay him, and we will bring Steve on in one of the coming weeks to talk about his induction into the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. And I know Junior has the list of all the inductees. We're going to cover that off on the other side of the break. And we are going to get Dylan Langille, the, I call him Dazzling Dylan from Riverside. But Tim Terry says, no, no, Joe, new name. It is Demo Dylan now.
Uh-oh.
He took he was in a demolition derby at the end of the year. So we're going to find out about all of that when we get Dylan on this show, which isn't going to be too long from right now. Stay with us. We will be back, hopefully.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bolt shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
We don't even eat dunk sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Fox News Headlines 24/7 is on SiriusXM.
with headlines every 15 minutes.
I'm Kevin Rincon.
I'm Therese Crowley.
I'm Jim McKay.
A channel that delivers your world news, business, what's trending in digital, entertainment, and sports.
Your news in a way you've never heard before with headlines every 15 minutes.
Fox News Headlines 24-7. All the information you need, ready when you are.
We're live from America's News Headquarters.
SiriusXM Channel 115. Or listen on the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
And there you go.
A little bit of Keter.
A little bit of polar bear. There we go. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio live tonight on SiriusXM. You can't get any more live than this, us dropping out like that.
No.
But I don't think we were gone for any more than a couple of minutes. Scotty would have been scrambling in the Toronto studio going, hey, where the hell did they go?
A little bit of dead air.
Well, you know what? It's a little bit windy here. And Sue showed me a video from Wellesley and Young.
Yeah.
Down in Toronto.
Man.
Where there is stuff flying in the air. It's not that the wind is blowing.
It's what the wind is blowing. A little bit of Ron White.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff blowing in the air.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody stay safe out there. The wind is crazy.
Yes. Be safe. And hopefully the power stays on at least for another 40-some-odd minutes. Who you got there on that list of Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame inductees for 2021?
Yeah, it's a really cool list. The 2021 list for the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame is as follows. Miles Brandt, going in as a builder, you know, but over at CTMP.
President
over there. Jim Bray, long time.
Jimmy!
Jim Bray, you know, in the NASCAR Penske series, but there isn't a race car that Jim Bray hasn't been under.
We're going to get Jim Bray on this show.
For sure.
Yes.
We might need the entire show.
Yes.
He's got a lot of history there.
He sure does.
Danny Britt, he's a competitor and team member. Kevin Dowler, longtime NASCAR, you know, Pinty's Cast Car, you know, multi-time winner.
Yes, from the West Coast to Canada.
Absolutely. Mike Miller, Natalie Richard, Ann Roy, Steve Robley. We were supposed to have Steve on the program here.
Gone to work.
Dr. Robert Seal, Ron Sinclair.
Ronnie, the voice of Cascar.
Absolutely.
He was the voice. And anything that, you know, I want to say that it was on speed back in the day. Ronnie Sinclair, if it was Cascar, it was Ron Sinclair's voice that you would have heard on that. Yep. And I really like to get Ron Sinclair on here, too.
Yes, for
sure. We'll look. I couldn't find Ronnie, but I'm going to look.
Kenny Wilden.
Kenny?
Doug Woods. Lawrence Partington. And then, of course, you know, the two guests that we've had on earlier tonight, Alex Nagy and Louis-Philippe Dumoulin.
Ah, there you go.
But,
there you go.
An awesome list of inductees you know, definitely cool to see everybody in there in all the different walks. You know, I suggest everybody to go on to the Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame on Facebook or Twitter. Take a look at the list for each one of those names. There's a backstory. You know, there's a couple paragraphs that you can go through and take a look at some names that you know and some names that maybe you haven't heard of you know, go through and take a look at the history within the sport. Definitely a very cool and deserving list going in 2020.
Yeah, we're going to do our best to get as many of those different inductees on over the course of time. We've got lots of time in between now and February. I know I reached out to Miles Brandt. Miles is not a guy that likes the spotlight shined on him, right?
No.
He doesn't. But
does a great job, though.
He will come on with us when it gets closer to February. So I look forward to that. I've dealt with Miles Brandt over the years and always very, very good dealings with Miles Brandt. A dynamite guy from CTMP, of course, Canada's ultimate road course. The truck series hopefully will be back in 2021 and we'll get that Silverado 250 back on the map. But
interesting that Miles is going in as a builder.
It is. I didn't know he was a builder.
I had no idea either. That was one of the interesting, you know, points that I've seen on the list. You know, but I mean, if that's where you If that's where he, lived for a majority of his career, then that's the way you got to go in. But same with Alex Nagy, in my lifetime within the sport, he's going in as a builder / competitor.
Right.
And that fits. But really, to me, he's been a promoter or a president, of the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series and the Speedway. So it's interesting to look back and just see the backstory on each of these awesome, awesome names.
Yeah, sure is. I know Sue's busy getting Dylan Langille up on the hotline.
Demo Dylan.
We will get Demo Dylan, dazzling Demo Dylan.
Wow.
How about that? Mouthful. That's a big one. That'd be a long hashtag. Dazzling Demo Dylan. He is the voice out at Riverside International Speedway out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. I was texting with Donald a little bit back and forth, seeing how things are going on the East Coast, and things are coming along good.
It's pretty cool. Brexton Bush went to Victory Lane this past weekend. Kyle Busch's son,
yeah,
right.
Oh,
went
really?
To Victory Lane for the first time in his little quarter midget on the dirt. No. So look out, there's
Bubba,
a name coming.
Bubba Pollard wins the Governor's Cup.
Big win, yes, and really a feel good story as well. Bubba has been running all year long. Of course, the past couple of years he's been running, closely with the David Rogers camp. He took the 11 to Victory Lane numerous times during speed weeks, not last year, but the year before.
Right.
And then, has been partnered up with David Rogers for a long period of time. We, of course, lost David Rogers just this year.
Yeah, cancer.
And, the longtime competitor with that TM Ranch on the car
and
the number 11.
Yeah.
Bubba Pollard has struggled the past couple weeks, with the All-American 400, the Winchester 400. He has been struggling really since Jennerstown, earlier on in the year. Did not have a good outing at the Slinger Nationals. He just has really had an atrocious second half of the year.
Yeah.
And, he goes to Victory Lane in the Governor's Cup with TM Ranch on the hood. Definitely a feel-good story for Bubba and everybody at New Smyrna Speedway.
Wow, we're going to have to look Bubba up and get him on this show. Maybe we'll try and do that for next week. But what do you say we get back to the hotline right now and let's welcome in that guy from Riverside International Speedway, the guy that you hear when you're in the grandstand. Oh, and you hear him all kinds of different spots. You even hear him on the radio out there. Let's welcome in Dylan Langille. What's going on tonight there, Dill? How you doing, bud?
Gentlemen, great to be on the show. You're stacking me up next to Bubba Pollard there, so not as good of a racer, but better announcer, I guess.
Ah, there you go.
And by the sounds of it, you can crash a car better than him, too, with that demolition derby.
Well, I didn't do much crashing. I did more overheating in that demolition enduro derby.
Blame
but
the
it
crew
was
chief.
Good times behind the wheel.
Now, did they keep running into you then? Is that what it was? They were running into your car? They all wanted to pick on Dylan that night?
So, long story short, I rented a van that didn't have a serpentine belt. And I found that out at the last moment. So I had no power steering, no water pump, no nothing. Rolled around Speedway Miramichi for four laps. And then it quit on me a couple laps in. And then I was just slowly trying to get to the infield so I wouldn't get run over completely. So I just had a little sore back. So not too bad.
Now, you rented a van. You rented a van for a demolition derby?
Yeah, the good folks there at Speedway Miramichi rent out demo vehicles. So Tim Terry, he put a little sponsorship money. I've got some other cash. And then we put a car together.
That's cool.
Typical driver, always complaining, not fast enough, not good enough. Incredible. But you had a good time, right?
It was a good time. I quickly went back to the announcer booth for a little bit to round out the season. And I was offered another drive at one of the last Miramichi events. I figured, I might as well retire with all my bones still, not broken. So I made it out good this year.
Incredible. Dylan, what a wacky year this has been. I know you guys got one race in at Riverside International Speedway. I know there was four planned, but you only got one out of the four done. What's it been like out there in Nova Scotia? Everybody staying safe, and what's it doing out there now?
Well, right now it's a little, I'll call it starting to get a little uneasy. We've got some extra cases popping up here and there. So I think everyone's starting to kind of get in the stay the blazes home mode again. That's something our premier said back when this pandemic started, was stay the blazes home. So we did that in the spring, and we got some racing in the summer. But we're kind of tightening the belt a little bit here, so Christmas isn't as hard. But, yeah, this year was wacky. We started off doing a lot of iRacing stuff, which we'll get into in a little bit. But we started doing that. The Atlantic bubble opened up, and we thankfully got some racing. And, really, we got to thank the New Brunswick government for being, I'll say, a little less strict with some of their rules, because that was the race place this summer between the three big tracks there.
Yeah, and I don't believe there was many of those races that took place on the East Coast that you weren't at. You and Tim Terry were busy guys.
I traveled more in a year where they said, don't travel a lot. So I ended up checking off Speedway 660 off my list. Speedway Miramichi, Petty, those three big tracks right there. Sydney Speedway here in Nova Scotia, got to go up there a couple of times. So I made my rounds around the Maritimes for the tracks that were still running. Unfortunately, there were a couple, including the dirt track I work at, that didn't get a single race in this year, just with too many rules to kind of figure out, and how can we make sure the fans are taken care of while we're also taking care of the drivers with a strict limit on how many people we can have there.
Well, without a pandemic flying around, without this virus sort of going from person to person, you are a busy guy in the Maritimes. As mentioned there, dirt track and asphalt track. You get the best of both worlds out there. Tell us a bit about both.
So Valley Raceway is a little quarter-mile dirt track outside of CFB Greenwood here in Nova Scotia. We didn't run this year, as I just mentioned, but it's good old-fashioned, just bench racing on the dirt. People make their own cars. People bring four cylinders. They buy old trucks from Scotia Speed World, and they just have a good time either slipping and sliding in the mud, or the mud is so hard as asphalt by the end, they're bumping all over the place. So that's been a really fun track to announce that. And then Riverside has been there for a couple of years, and we're talking about that one event we got in. It was awesome to be back there this year. It was certainly weird with only having 1,250 fans in the stands, especially when you're down interviewing a driver and you hear the crowd cheer, and it's loud, but it's not IWK 250 loud.
Right.
It's just little differences like that.
Yeah, and that's a huge difference from 12,000 people to 1,200. It seemed like you could shoot a cannon and not hit anybody.
People definitely had their space. They had some leg room, but that was the restrictions we had to play with. Us, Scotia Speed World, and two hockey arenas were allowed multiple bubbles of 250 people. So at the track, Joe and Joe, we had to have five separate entrances, one at the main gate, another one right beside it, some way off in turn two, but that was just the way we had to do it. And we had the St. FX women basketball team delivering food to the fans who sit in their seats. So if you didn't like getting up and doing stuff, it was a good experience for you. You could just sit down and watch racing the entire time.
That's one of the things that I see kind of, transcending this. On the other side, there's going to be servers, I think, at the racetrack.
Oh, you never know.
I honestly think that, there's always been at big venues, whether it be sports or whether it be concerts, there's always been the person walking up and down the aisle with a tray and throwing hot dogs or beers or whatever. There's always been that certain aspect at venues, but I seen it firsthand, at a few races here in Ontario. Of course, we only had like 100 people allowed at the venues, but we had servers at Sauble Speedway. There were servers at Jucasa Speedway in Flamborough that would actually bring the food to each individual pod.
Right.
It's a really interesting model, and I think that that'll be a pretty cool revenue source going forward for the tracks and for the teams, or not for the teams, for the tracks that are out there, and a value add service. Maybe it becomes a little bit of a premium ticket, similar to what you see at the Maple Leafs game, or one of the larger venues.
I don't know. I wouldn't want Dylan out there. He'd hit me with a bag of peanuts, full tilt.
Well, I don't get the peanut gun or anything, but realistically, for any fans listening, this was a trial run, to be honest, because most likely restrictions and regulations like we just had at Scotia SeaWorld and Riverside, they're most likely going to be there next year. Mm-hmm. Whether there's more people allowed next year, there's still going to be the restrictions of, well, you need to have separate entrances, you need to kind of stick in your zone, you can't go over to Zone A to chat with your buddies and drink a couple of beers. It's going to be probably like that, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they allow media in and we can get back to doing what we do, because I'll tell you what, that drove us nuts, Dylan, not to be together out there this year. I mean, just about right around the bend.
It was certainly weird not having the whole RTR crew. Myself and Tim Terry held down the fort 6 feet apart. We even had to be 6 feet apart in that announcer booth. And there's probably only, you know, barely 12 feet. So we were right on the walls. But that was the rules, and we played within the rules. And we had a great race at the Tourmont Cat 150 when Nicholas Noggle stole the show with 14 laps to go in a restart. Greg Proud dominated that race at the Capital B and just spun the tires a little bit, and that's what it came down to. It was one of those fast Riverside races. Sometimes you get all the wrecks, and other times it just finishes up in an hour and a half.
No kidding. We've seen them go either way. Some of them are lightning quick, and then others take a little bit of time. But, you know, we're going to have to wait till next summer to see some more action on the tracks because, of course, everything's shut down now. But this is where you guys start moving full tilt into iRacing, and I know it's going to be a busy week for you coming up.
Yeah, more so for Tim. So you kind of highlighted some of the other stuff I do. I'm doing morning radio all this upcoming week, so that means going to bed early for me. But timscorner.ca, Tim's got a 5 days of iRacing lined up starting tomorrow night. It's this big 300-lapper coming up on Friday night. So if you have iRacing, you don't have to be from the Atlantic bubble to race. There's no quarantine on iRacing, so you can check in with Tim on iRacing, sign up. There's qualifying nights Monday through Thursday, and then we got the big TCM special event, 300 lapper. I forget what track we're racing at, but that's going to be a really fun show because, you know, Joe, you announced some of those iRaces. They can get really intense even on a computer.
Oh, man, we had a lot of fun doing that last year. You and I, Mike James, and the guys from Vidane, we did have a lot of fun doing it. I know we were killing time, filling in, if you will, but, hey, this winter is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to this coming week.
I will say it doesn't beat being at the real racetrack. That first Bubble Buster 150 at Petty, it just made everything better. And I have to give a tip of the hat to Petty, to Wayne and Ellen Smith, and even with the Roys at Speedway 660 and Barry Richard up in Miramichi, those tracks working together, they became a racing hub for the Maritimes. There were tons of cars coming from Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island because we were kind of restricted here until September. So those places gave us a place to play. We had great times at the Riverglade International and the Mike Stevens weekend. And the fans also kind of got to escape what's going on in the world, too. It was a bit of normalcy at the racetrack, I'll say, a couple Saturday nights in the summer.
Well, yeah, and we also learned something, too, Dylan. You correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys didn't spawn one new case out of all of that.
No, so I will say, and you know, and I'll say, too, I was a little uneasy being around, I'll say, a couple thousand people, but people were wearing their masks, they were social distancing as best as they could. It can be a little tight sometimes, but here in the Atlantic bubble, it's mostly been travel-related. So the thing that's been a real saving grace here has been the 14-day quarantine when people follow it. It can be tough for some people. They got to try and get their groceries, but that's the rules. And, yeah, we didn't have a single incident at any track in this summer in the Maritimes with spreading of COVID.
So remember that, Nova Scotia government, and let the odd Ontario guy in. You know, I think it'd be a good idea.
One or two Ontario guys.
Dylan, what radio station are you on that fans can maybe tune in and take part of that morning show hearing you when you first wake up?
Country 100.7 in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia. CJHK is our call letter. CJHK.ca is the website. And I'll be drinking lots of coffee to get the Monday cobwebs off as we get ready for some rainy weather. We're getting a little bit of a storm tomorrow here in Nova Scotia on the South Shore, so that'll be some fun. But it's nice to get back into the iRacing, too, so that'll be coming up this week. And it's nice to talk about what happened this summer, because I'll be honest, boys, I didn't think there was going to be racing this year. If you would have told me in April we've got a handful of events in and one at Riverside in Scotia. I always said, you're crazy because it's getting so bad and there's so many rules, but we got a couple in.
Yeah, and dynamite stuff, really, just a great job by the racetracks to actually figure it out and be able to put fans in. And to do what you guys did was just amazing. Good to see, and we're going to have more of it in 2021. Hopefully a whole pile more of it is what we're all hoping for. They need this vaccine. Why don't you and Tim go develop one out there?
Well, the Pfizer people are working on it. They can get Viagra out pretty quick. Hopefully they can get this vaccine out pretty quick. Because, I mean, we got the tentative schedule for the Pro Stock Tour. We got to get ready for the May long weekend.
That's right. They know how to put a handle on a guy, but we got to get this virus out of the way.
Yeah, well, it's getting better. You know, there's promising stuff coming from it, and hopefully 2021 will be a wind of change. We can get more racing in. We can get you guys and fans from the States and fans from Ontario to come to the Atlantic bubble and support these tracks because, you know, I'll say, except for the New Brunswick track, I don't think any Nova Scotia track did particularly well. It was more so of a trial run and just giving a place for the drivers to play, pretty much, instead of saying, well, I'm going to pack in my car and give it up. They gave it an opportunity to go and play.
Yeah, they did. And a great job, too. It kept people in the sport. As much as they could, it did keep people in the sport, and that's precisely what took place here in Ontario as well. I know it was the same out in BC. They had their big race at the end of the year. Just a goofy year, and hopefully we can put it all behind us come spring and all get back together as one great big happy nation under a checkered flag somewhere. Dylan, we can't thank you enough for staying up late. I know it's an hour later out there than it is here, and you got an early curtain call tomorrow morning, my friend, so we don't want the station manager calling us saying, hey, what did you do to my Dillmeister?
No, I'll drink lots of coffee, so thanks for having me on, guys. I just want to say as well my thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of Ernie McLean, the former promoter at the legendary River Glade International Speedway, New Brunswick, and also was a promoter at Riverside for a handful of years. He passed away on Wednesday, 84 years old. He's nicknamed the Godfather of Racing in the Maritimes, and I had a chance to do an interview with him for Riverside Speedway last year. So a really big giant in the maritime racing industry we lost this week.
Yeah, well said, and thoughts and prayers to Ernie McLean's family and everybody that was connected with him. Jerry Wheaton, good driver here in Ontario. Jerry used to talk to me about Ernie McLean all the time. Jerry, of course, from the East Coast of Canada, but raced All-Star here. And he sounded like quite a dynamite guy, and I did catch that interview you did. Any more of them coming up that we can look forward to, Dylan?
You never know what's down the pipeline. We got a lot of fun stuff hopefully lined up with Riverside and Heart of a Champion, the Hot Rod Classics as well. We got a couple races in this year. So we hope to be at Oyster Bed, Scotia, Riverside, Petty next year. Fingers crossed this vaccine gets down the pipeline.
Absolutely. Dylan, give everybody a big hug for us out there, and you have a good one. We'll get you back on this show and find out how plans are all coming for 2021 out there as we get down the road here, we bet. Sound good?
Sounds good. Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Joe.
Hey. You betcha. Dylan Langell, the voice of Riverside International Speedway and Valley Speedway.
I had no idea that there was a dirt track in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
How terrible is that?
Yeah.
We learn about new tracks all the time, don't we?
Sure do.
It's craziness.
Sure do.
There's new tracks, or not new tracks, there's tracks that we don't know about.
Sure.
It's definitely pretty cool to learn about them.
Final break of the night. We will be back with you. Still got to hear from some of the champions in NASCAR. Stay there.
Hi, this is Ken Squire, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four, and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
Oh, that could mean either one of us, Junior. Could mean. Could mean me. Could mean you. That's Andy.
As long as it doesn't say senior at the end of it.
Oh, enough with the senior. Enough with the senior. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We are with you, surprisingly enough, with the amount of wind that is outside the studio right now. It would not surprise me if we go dark again by the time the show is over, and we've only got like 12 minutes left in the program.
Sounds like a damn hurricane outside.
It does.
It's crazy.
But it's been like that since about, I'm going to say, 3 o'clock today.
Yep.
The wind has just been howling. We got all kinds of trees down, and lots happening outside the studio. But, Junior, last weekend, of course, big championship weekend. What did you think of the three races?
Loved the fact that it was at Phoenix.
Yes. A lot better than Homestead, I would say.
For a championship weekend, I agree. I love Homestead, too. Don't get me wrong. I
yes.
love watching races there.
Yep.
Totally different than all the other mile and a halfs out there. But Phoenix is a great little facility. And, man, the racing that we seen last weekend was spectacular. It was awesome.
It was. Let's hear from Chase Elliott, of course, our Cup winner. And Chase answering the question, what had changed over the last couple of weeks? Because he really picked it up. And here's what Chase had to say about that.
Heck, I don't know. You know, I feel like we just put a lot of emphasis on the things that matter and really just didn't care about anything else. And, you know, there's just so much distraction in the world. Everybody's tied to their phones and, you know, you can get a hold of anybody anytime, and there's just so many things and from the outside that can reach someone. And you know, that's one thing that I felt like our whole team just did a better job of, was just boiling down to the things that matter. And ultimately it's you know, how good of a job do we do building that car? How prepared am I coming into a race weekend, and how do we execute it? And I feel like those three things we put more emphasis on than we ever have. I feel like I was mentally locked in better than I've ever been. And, yeah, I think the results showed.
Now, they obviously showed. There's two things I want to say. I can't tell you how proud we are to be sponsored by Napa.
Yes.
Auto Parts Stores out in Antigonish, out in Nova Scotia, Port Hawkesbury, and New Glasgow. Great supporters of Racetime Radio. And how cool is it that they sponsor Napa, sponsored the Cup Series champion. I wanted to say that, and I can't thank Napa enough for supporting this program. And I can't tell you how much it blows my mind, Junior, to it doesn't feel like it's been as long as it has been, but I was standing in the garage at Daytona and doing an interview. I got a picture with doing an interview with Rick Hendrick. And walking by me just after I did that was an extremely young Chase Elliott. He couldn't have been 12 years old.
Yep.
And he was like, he was just learning his way around in that garage area. And he looked like he was out of school. Like,
yep.
But he's gonna, right? He's 12 years old learning it. And it just blows my mind. I can still see Chase Elliott walking around in that garage area. And I've interviewed Chase Elliott a number of times down south. And he's always been a great interview. He's always been a real good guy to talk to and never shunned anybody.
No.
He's never been like that.
Nope.
And he is a true champion, and he is going to be a Dynamite Cup champion for the ages.
Yes.
And he is. That's his first one. Watch out. Jimmy got 7. Watch how many this kid gets.
He's a true blue racer, too. You know, when you look at, and back in the day, the reason why he was in the garage area wasn't just because his dad was Bill Elliott.
No, not at all.
He was signed at a very young age to Hendrick Motorsports.
Yep.
In the late models, right?
Yeah.
He was racing super late models. He had Aaron's as a sponsor, he raced super late models all over the Southeast. And then really all over North America, and Chase just put together a career that, is it surprising that it took so long for Chase to get that championship in the Cup Series?
No, it hasn't been that long.
I know it hasn't been that long, but
no.
It feels like he's been here forever.
Yeah.
You know,
like
that's,
he's been there a while.
And he's so young still, right? Like he's still like incredibly young. And it's just interesting to me to hear them talk about some of these superstars in our sport, right? Like Joey Logano, right? They talked about his age heading into. It feels like Joey Logano's been racing Cup like forever, he's just barely 30 years old, right?
Right.
But guys like Chase Elliott and William Byron and all this youth that's in the series right now. To see him get to 7, I think is a huge stretch just because of how difficult it is. But if there's a guy that can do it, it's Chase Elliott and Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah, I believe so.
That's if there is a will, there's a way, and I think that he would be a favorite to get up there. But really cool that the most popular driver wins the championship for the first time since his dad.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's cool.
That's definitely a really cool portion as well.
Let's hear from Jimmy Johnson, his final thoughts getting into the car at Phoenix, heading into his last race of his career. Here's what Jimmy had to say about those particular moments.
Really just excited to do this, excited to get on track and have this final event. For me, the hardest point was about this time last year when thoughts were heavy in my mind, and I was going to make the decision and made the decision to myself and my family. And then had to go to Rick's house and talk that through with Mr. Hendrick. So that point in time was probably the most emotional and most difficult. And as the year has gone by, many, many moments of reflection and just pride. And then all of that rolled into today and just very excited to be on track. And it was nice to be competitive out there and run the top five, finish in the top five. But my bucket's full. I mean, this NASCAR has been so wonderful for me. This journey has been more than I could have ever dreamed of or expected or hoped for. And, the last couple of years on track weren't as I've, dreamed up, but I've experienced the highest of highs and, worked with the greatest people and been with one team through this entire journey. And, just very thankful for all the people that have helped me get here. So all those emotions and all that pride rolled up into just a huge smile today, walking out on the grid.
I can see Jimmy Johnson going to be missed in this sport. I can see that. I can see that clearly. But I can also say that I can't wait to see what he does inside an IndyCar.
Yeah, definitely.
That's cool.
That is really cool.
So cool that he is still of the age where, he's stepping out of what is a historic NASCAR career and still being able to step into an IndyCar. That is, it blows my mind.
Yeah. Now, definitely, we're only going to see him on the road courses. A little bit
to
difficult.
To start,
yep. But difficult to, you know, really put together, you know, I think everybody has to be, you know, a certain amount of cautious over promoting what he's going to be able to do in an IndyCar. Can he drive? Yes, 100%, obviously. Is he going to be a force when he's out there? Yes, look at the team that he's with. But is he going to go out and light the world on fire, year number one? He's got a lot of learning to do in behind the wheel of that thing. So
7-time champ will learn fast.
I think he will, too. But it'll be really interesting to see what he can do up against guys that are doing this week in and week out in the IndyCar deal. But such a bucket list thing, right? Like a race car driver... A race car driver just wants to go fast, there's, you know,
he's
that's
about
the pinnacle.
To get a swish.
That's the pinnacle, you know, I've always been, you know, a certain amount of a Jimmy Johnson fan. I hated it when he went on his stretch there, and he was winning all the races.
Yeah, but you hated Jeff Gordon when he went on his
tear. No, I loved Jeff Gordon. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was never a massive Jimmy Johnson fan until. It was too late, you know. It was the last couple of years. You know, you look at the accomplishments and what he did, and you reflect back on it. And there were so many people that didn't celebrate it hard enough on what we witnessed in out of Jimmy Johnson. And you know, just this past weekend, seeing how everything transpired, and obviously without the massive fans and all those things, I reflect back to Jeff Gordon's. You know, final race at Homestead and how big of a deal it was. You know, you had guys like Lewis Hamilton there and the glob of people around his car and all of that stuff.
Jimmy didn't have that.
Jimmy didn't have all that.
Yeah.
But you know what? The guy is such a class act. It was really cool to witness all of the things that he did. And, you know, it is definitely a missed, he will be a missed driver out on that racetrack.
Yeah.
But I hope that he gets back into like an Xfinity car, like what Dale Jr. is doing for a one-off or a two-off here and there.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it will.
I hope you're right. Just Jimmy Johnson, don't know if you listen to Race Time Radio very often, but if you're listening right now, thanks for the years, buddy.
It was really cool.
Awesome, awesome, awesome to watch. And I can't wait to see what you can do in an IndyCar. And hopefully one day that Indianapolis 500... That would be so, so cool to see Jimmy Johnson go win the Indianapolis 500. That there would rank right up there with watching Tagliani hit the pole, and I was hoping he was going to win it. But, Junior, that's going to do it for us tonight. Racetime Radio's in the books for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Got to thank Susie Q right here in RTR's studio. Got to thank Scotty back in Toronto, if it is Scotty back there tonight. Sorry we dropped out, buddy. We had no choice. The power went out. But luckily it came back on and we were able to continue. Got to thank all of our guests tonight. The Canadian Motorsports Hall of Fame. Check them out on Facebook. Give them a like, will you? And put some notes in there. We will get more of those inductees on as time unrolls. But that's going to do it for us. Have a good one, everybody. Be safe. We'll be back next Sunday night, 7 p.m., right here on Sirius XM.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.